1290. Good morning. You're on Talkback.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a quick question. Those buildings that they're building on Water Street, that's within 10 feet of the road.
Yes.
But yet when I wanted to put a carport up in my home, they said my carport would be 10 feet of the road. Why is it that a building can be of 10 feet of the road, but yet I can't put a carport up?
Obviously, without knowing where your house is or any of the specifics, I'm just shooting very blindly at this. Why that's 10 feet from the road, I think it should have been set back more, but that's where it was put. I'm sure the zoning requirement from the front setback has been met. That area must be high density. Also, it was Southwest Community Services
right.
is building this.
So that makes it okay because they can get away with it?
No, I don't think it's okay at all.
It's probably maybe a zoning issue that it allows it. I don't know. I mean, I'm speculating, but where is your house approximately?
Yeah, that's a good thought.
My house is on Beaver Street, and my driveway is on Beaver Street.
So,
and when I went in to ask the people about whether or not if I could put up just a carport, just to cover our cars, I had no idea we were going to have the winter we had. Which would help us out keeping our driveway and our cars so we can actually get into
right.
it. And they said, nope, it's within 10 feet of the street, so you can't have it done.
Oh,
yeah, and I saw other structures being put up within 10 feet of the feet of the street, and it's like, why is it?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Get away with it.
That doesn't sound right at all.
Okay, but let me find out, and I'll report back next week.
That would be great, because I think it's very unfair, maybe because I'm not a builder.
No.
You know, but I pay taxes just like everyone else does, and I just think it's very unusual that certain people can do it, and yet we asked first before doing it instead of just putting it up.
Mm-hmm.
And we were flatly refused. In fact, we couldn't, I just think it's unfair that some can and some can't.
Well, let me ask, and I will find out for you and report back next week.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Some degree of a way around that could be as a temporary construction,
right?
Meaning it doesn't have a permanent foundation. It could still be built like a tent,
right?
But you know, that's stretching things. It doesn't sound like it's right.
Oh, well, we'll find out.
Yes.
357-1290. Good morning, you're on Talkback.
Good morning, everybody.
Hi,
Mitch. You're my favorite realtor in town. Doesn't say a lot for you, but you're still my favorite realtor in town.
Boy, I'm worried now.
Even if I don't work there anymore.
Well,
thank you.
Mitch is a great guy. He's a really great guy. He really listens to a lot of people. I just wanted to talk about something. People are talking about site work and things like that. You know, I called in quite a long time ago, and I know I was not the only one who was talking about the jail being such a loser. And I guess there are some troubles up there financially now. Well, the warden came on and told us what a moneymaker this was going to be and all this. You know, I'd like to know, has the building started sliding down the hill yet? You know, as far as site work is concerned, you know, now I'm also curious as to really who owns that property, because, you know, the taxpayers are paying for it, yet I believe it's considered private property, which is very interesting. You know, this is it's a money pit. It's there's money thrown away. There are people who are still upset about it. It hasn't gone away. People are extremely upset about it because this was shoved down our throats on this lousy piece of land. There's never any need for this jail. There was probably not even a need for the for anything to happen at Westmoreland either, because they just jail people for all kinds of silly things. This thing it's a group of people, there's I believe five owners that are private owners at the expense of you and I. We don't support this. Nobody supports this thing here. With a gang mentality.
Supports what? I'm sorry, I lost track. Supports what? Nobody supports.
The jail. It's the jail. They pushed that thing through us. They shoved it down our throats, and now we're forced to pay for it and pay their salaries. And now it's getting a little bit more expensive, is it not?
I don't know. I haven't seen. I mean, the county budget is being worked on. They presented one county budget, but it's being worked on. So there'll be two more incarnations.
The people who are in control of running the budget are the same people who want the money. It's not ever going to get fixed.
This is not a profit-making organization.
Nor is the jail, and yet they told us it would make some money.
Right.
Federal prisoners and all this, and none of those people, they're probably all of those victimless crimes that they continue to jail people in still around here.
I think what you might be referencing is that they're not receiving the federal prisoners that they were expecting, and they're finding that they have to specially train guards in preparation for these federal prisoners, and they're not getting them anyway, so it's just not bringing in the income.
Right. Another
interesting project is now there's a proposed housing project as the individuals cycle out of the jail into this subsidized housing project, and I find that pretty confusing.
Well, the whole thing is subsidized. It's subsidized. Yes. It's stolen from the masses at the profit of a few. It's redistribution of wealth. That's the whole thing this whole jail is about. The whole thing jails have ever been about. I really thought the people of Keene would be smarter than that. I think they are, and I think they just are a little bit apathetic because, hey, they've got things going on in their lives, and a lot of people don't realize or want to realize all this trouble that this jail has caused, and all the trouble that, you know, even this new school is going to cost. More and more people are homeschooling. They don't like the government education system. It's a failure. It's a flop.
I don't think that the people of Keene really asked for this jail in any way, and I know.
And it's a county.
Why don't we shut it down? Mitch,
you're
a smart guy.
It's a county thing, and we cannot do that.
We did everything on city council possible to not have it.
We cannot pay for this jail. We can get rid of that jail. We can shut it down. We don't have to pay for it. It's all about money. It's all it ever was about. And, you know, I understand. I agree with that caller that called in earlier about all the trouble in Iraq. Well, we've got a war here. And it's a war for your wallet. It's a war to steal your money. It's a war it's a war on you. It's a war on poor people. The police target poor people. They do. I mean, we know this. When are we going to stop this in Keene? When are we going to stop this in Cheshire County? We have to. We got to do it now.
Well, that's a good way to end the hour. But anyway, thank you for calling. Good morning. You're on Talkback.
Good morning. How are you?
Hi, I'm fine. How are you?
That's good. I'd like to also put my vote in for Park Ave.
You're for the worst street in town?
Yes. I live off of Hastings, and I normally travel Park Ave back and forth, and I refuse to go there. I now take the bypass and go all the way around.
Right.
It's just absolutely terrible. It's also dangerous because people avoiding the potholes or swerving into the other lanes, and it's just not acceptable. I've lived in Keene for almost 20 years, and I don't ever remember Park Ave being repaved. I just remember them cold patching and repairing it, but I've never known of Park Ave being repaved.
The problem with these potholes is that now that the snowbanks are pretty much gone, you can get really splashed when the cars go through those potholes.
That helps.
You sure can.
Yeah.
Well, I just wanted to put my vote in.
Okay, thanks.
Well, driving out to the radio station along Park Avenue, I saw a woman dodging potholes. She didn't put down her cell phone, though.
No, that's another story for another day. 357-1290. Good morning. You're on Talkback.
Well, I'd much rather pay for having potholes be fixed than pay for that stupid jail up there.
Well, there you go.
You know, I guess I got
comes from two different budgets.
Well, I know, but you know, that's the unfortunate thing about this whole situation. Is because I do remember, it's too bad all those people know more than I do, because I told them they'd never make any money off housing federal prisoners, and they didn't need to build a jail as big as it is, but they went right ahead and did it anyway. And that last gentleman that called in a couple of callers ago was absolutely right, because I guess I'm not alone.
No, you're not.
I'm not alone, and it seems to me that the greater majority of the city councilors agreed with me quite some time ago, but they didn't listen to you guys either.
Yeah, and to your point, the city council didn't want it, and our elected state representatives did. And amazingly, they were all reelected. How did that happen?
I don't know.
That's
a good question.
Unfortunately, I think there's just too much apathy, or people just think things are just going great and keen, because when you look at the last voter turnout, it was less than 10%. I believe Chris Coates had the figures there at 9.6%. So I guess when people, if you get out there and vote, well, great. But here you had this right to vote. But I guess most people either just plain don't care or they're happy with the way things are going on. But I'll tell you one thing, you know, when I see what you guys do in the city of Keene, I can talk to you guys, you know, I see you on the streets, talk with you, and we're running a great community. But unfortunately, we've got the, now we've got the federal government against us, we've got the state government against us, and now we've got the county government against us. So what are we going to do? Do they want to just take us down with them? That's what I'm afraid is going to happen. I mean, anybody that was in the private industry that would made such a mess of that jail, promised everybody this and promised everybody that, and what a great place it's going to be, but look who's paying for it. Who's benefiting? I want to know who's benefiting from that jail. I know a lot of people are certainly not benefiting from it. It's a detriment to this community. The property taxes are going up. Like I said, I'd much rather spend my money on the potholes than I would to be throwing it away on a jail.
Well, just think of, and I say this sarcastically, just think of all those individuals that are being rehabilitated due to the closeness to city services that we were told.
Silence.
Sir, are you being sarcastic?
Totally, Mike. Come on. I started off with I'm being sarcastic just to be sure of that.
I'm teasing you.
Yeah. Okay, well.
My dear friend.
Yes. I know. Cynthia was just looking at me with these deer eyes like, yeah, I'm sorry about that.
How do I answer that?
Yeah, well, you know, I don't think it's really going to serve much purpose, but it is more effective. We had to do it. It was done. And it's very unfortunate that our county reps didn't listen to us and just jammed it. But again, right. It's more frustrating that these guys weren't turned out of office.
And I don't think the housing that's being proposed next to the jail is a good idea.
They already have the funding. I think just the planning board has to deal with it.
Right.
But then there's more, as they say. There was a proposed mobile home park just above that. And The caller who was referencing five individuals that own the land, yeah, it's a small group of developers that are working this site. It would be nice if there was an industrial user that is actually going to create some jobs, and let's get something positive going on up there.
They could hire the prisoners, and we'd all win.
Well, you know what? You know, it just goes back to the fact that they made a big blunder. I think that gentleman had a good point. Hey, let them pay for it then. Why should we have to pay for a stupid blunder like that? You know, maybe it was intentional. Maybe they did it intentionally. I mean, they wouldn't listen to anybody.
But they is us, unfortunately. Well, it's in the county budget. And we're the ones who fund the county budget, even without a vote. It's not like the school district.
And,
where
you know, supposedly we had a vote through our state delegation, county delegation, but they didn't vote the way I wanted them to.
Well, and neither did they, me or any or 90% of the people. So I guess I look at it this way. That gentleman made a good point. Just shut it down. I think we ought to just, if we don't like it, just don't pay that portion of our property taxes. I know this group is getting bigger now. I've seen it. The people are just getting sick of it. Just totally throwing money away. Why? I'd much rather put my money into, like I says, I'll be redundant. I'd much rather put my money into fixing those potholes.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah.
And fixing up the city of Keene, the beautiful city. But once again, we've got all these people that are really against us. They're trying to bring us. They're trying to destroy us like they've destroyed themselves. The only way they can do it is to try to. What are they going to do, Mitch? Steal everybody's house around here so to pay for them?
Don't know.
I mean, it's a scary thought, but I think that's where it's coming.
Yeah.
This has to stop.
Okay.
Well, listen, God bless you guys. Thanks so much for the job you guys do.
Thank you. 357-1290 is our number if you'd like to give us a call. Good morning. You're on TalkBack.
Hello. Thank you. You know, we don't have to worry about anything, the jail, the schools, the high cost of anything in government. We're going to be inflated to death. They'll wipe out our savings, and they'll wipe out all these bills, too.
Okay.
People better start thinking about currency crises and what's happened in 40 different countries between 1900 and present. Look at the history of Argentina and Chile. The middle class pretty much got wiped out. If you had $100,000 of value, you only had about $30,000 at the end of it.
Uh-huh.
America is not immune from the law of finance. and she thinks she is, and it's coming. So everybody should position themselves for it. And don't worry about the debt. Run it all up. Be irresponsible, and it'll just make it happen a little bit quicker. That's my thoughts.
Well, that's depressing, but thank you for calling. Good morning, you're on TalkBack.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I think the person, he's a friend of mine who called two or three times ago just before Steve Lindsay, and he complains a lot about the jail and so forth. I think he needs, he's a wonderful person. I talk to him quite a bit. I don't see him as much as I'd like to, but he's a very, very interesting guy. I think where he loses himself a little bit is in the distinction between the government and between the federal government and the local government. Local government, I think, is pretty well. I think there's, you could say the town meetings all around New England are the very basis of democracy, and I think they've held up pretty good. And I think most of what happens in the city of Keene is pretty well known in advance. There might be a few quiet deals on the side. I don't know that. I'm not in a position to know that. But I think where he fails is, he thinks all government is, he seems to think all government is bad, where I don't agree with him there at all. I think local government is pretty much accessible to most of the people. I don't think there's too many conspiracies going on, no doubt one or two, but I don't think there's too many things going on. But I think where he makes the difference on the large scale, the federal government, is that the federal government, I think, is most of the people working for it are people, very good people who are working for their salaries. But the government itself is not owned by the people. It's an indirect, it's a republic, not a democracy. And a republic can be easily manipulated by a handful of people. I think this is why you go back to the populist movement of 1892. If you ever look at their charter, what they wanted for the next 4 years, and eventually by the end of the century and the beginning of the 20th, the both Democrats and Republicans took their ideas seriously. These are real populists, poor people, not the rich populist being supported by the Koch brothers, etc. But most of their ideas were absorbed by Wilson for the Democrats and by Theodore Roosevelt for the Republicans. And all of a sudden, I mean, you have people like Woodrow Wilson saying in the campaign of 1912, the entire government is owned by the great trusts. Then you have Theodore Roosevelt saying in the same election, 1912, the great malefactors of wealth must be tamed. What's the connection there? What's the connection now? Why did a Democratic president ever bail out something like Goldman Sachs? And then Goldman Sachs, in the worst year of this recession, 1809, turns out to give 1,000 of its employees $1 million end-of-the-year tip.
Mm.
Now, you start putting that together, and you wonder where our government is going and who directly owns our government, and do our elected federal representatives even know the laws that they are writing, or are the lobbyists of the all these rich trusts and rich people actually dictating the laws themselves?
I think it's all about the money.
It's all about the money, and that's what has corrupted this, and we must constantly keep in mind, and this is why, do you suppose, in Wisconsin, the guy is very open about it. I want to get rid of unions, because unions are the last manifestation of the will of the people. If we can get rid of them, then we can be a complete plutocracy, and we'll have no criticism at all. I just want to end by saying I have a degree from the University of Wisconsin. I love Madison. I was heading out there a couple of weeks ago when something happened and changed my mind. But a friend of mine said he would speak in front of the student union, and did I have a message for him? And this is the message I gave him. I said, please, even though I've left 51 years ago, tell anybody who knows me, and I still know a few people in Madison, tell them this, that if I were to speak in front of the student union, I would say this. It's the last line of a wonderful poem by Percy Bysshe Shelley called The Mask of Anarchy. Rise like lions after slumber, in unvanquishable number. Shake those chains to earth like dew, which in sleep hath fallen on you. For ye are many, and they are few. Thank you very much.
Very good. Thank you very much. 357-1290. Good morning. You're on TalkBack.
Hello.
Hey.
I got to call in again. This is a totally different subject. I was wondering, I don't have cable. I don't want it. I haven't had it for probably 20-odd years or better. And I get the PBS. So we're held captive to one station, basically. They claim three, but they're all the same.
Right.
And I know when they first went on air, all these this new signal, I picked up stations out of Mass for one day there. They probably realized they overpowered, overshot, and cut it back or something. Is there an effort to keep it out of Keene, these other signals, or do you know anything about that?
No. I believe that they... I'm not sure exactly. I'm on the Cable Commission. I should know this, right? But I believe that they come in and they are willing to, like, make a presentation to the city about what they will do. And I don't think that there are a lot of places that want to come to Keene because it's a relatively small market. And
what the signals?
Yeah. Oh, I don't know about the signals.
Well,
I mean,
what I'm interested in. We got the new system of digital transmission out of these stations. And we have the mechanics of the software to pick it up, but we can't get probably above these mountains here. But if they had an antenna or somewhere to shoot them in here, I'm just wondering what we're held captive to one station here basically.
I don't know, but let me call the IMS director at the city, and I bet she could tell me what's happening with that.
It's a shame they did a good job on recreating a good signal that's as good as a picture as you're gonna get, but you can't, you know. UHF isn't something you can watch around the clock.
Right.
Right.
Let me ask about that, and let me see if I can get you an answer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mention I picked him up one day, too. I've talked to all the people around here in the business, and they said, no, you couldn't have. I did. And I was interested in it was set up just like it was network TV. It wasn't the PBS.
Huh.
Okay.
All righty. Thank you very much. Bye-bye now.
Okay, so a bit of downtown news.
Okay. What do we got?
A new business coming to Main Street in the former Jackson Energy site, the office on Central Square.
Who's coming?
Knitting Nook.
Really?
Yes.
Now, that's the... There is...
It's
the same Knitting Nook that...
And I'm not sure, but I think Carol mentioned that store's been around for over 40 years.
It's been around forever, yeah.
I remember them at Riverside Plaza.
Knitting Canuck.
Yeah, and now they're currently on West Street, and on or about April 1st, they will be corner of Court Street and Central Square.
Oh, that's great. That's
so
great.
Very happy to pass that on, that a retailer is coming, and
that's great.
I wish her lots of luck and well. So that's a good thing.
On the reverse side, I was sorry to see that Lily Garden had closed in Westmoreland, the daycare center in Westmoreland.
I didn't know that.
I thought that was too bad, but go ahead.
No, that's that. And that actually leaves, I believe, just one vacancy downtown, the former Cool Jewels space. And several are looking, negotiating, but no one's signing.
But that's so, just amazing that in this economy that all the stores are filled.
Yeah.
357-1290. Good morning, you're on Talkback.
Hi, how's everybody doing?
All's
everybody's
well.
Doing great.
Okay, I just want to comment on the fellow that made the comment on the... democracy and how valuable it is to maintain our freedom and so forth. I just have one other slant on that. I think the reason why we're a republic is because, especially in this day and age where we have so many forms of communicating with the internet and so forth, that I think the fear is that the masses can be kind of brainwashed or guided in a direction that may be really against the Constitution and what the Founding Fathers believed this country should be. And that's why it's good that we are a republic. And I believe in individual rights and voting and all that, but... There is another slant to it. That's all I'd like to say. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Good morning, you're on Talkback.
Hey, good morning. It's Ian from FreeKeene.com.
Hi.
How are you today?
Fine, good morning. Thank you. How are you?
Hey, good. So democracy versus republic, it seems to me that there's very little difference between the two. A democracy, democracy is two wolves and a sheep deciding on dinner by voting, then a republic are the same wolves voting one of the wolves to represent the wolves deciding on dinner. So really, what the problem is the big problem is the use of force and the fact that in either one of those systems, the sheep lose because they're outvoted by the wolves. So really, there isn't any significant difference between the two. Either way, it's a dual system that allows the people in search of power to wield that power over other people and use that power and influence to reward their friends and to punish their enemies. And
there was a book back in the 60s called A Nation of Sheep.
Yeah, indeed. And so if anything's going to change in a positive direction, it's going to be getting away from the old ideas and the barbaric ideas of democracy and republics. Oh, and to the point of the over-the-air television signals for the gentleman that called earlier, it's my understanding that approximately 10 to 15% of TV viewers are still using, rabbit ears or antennas to receive their television. So it's very unlikely that at any point in the future that there will be a new over-the-air television signal put on the air anywhere in this country. It's a dying technology. So even though they did digitalize the tech, they only did that to basically to free up spectrum. The FCC took the spectrum, the frequency ranges of the old analog channels, which take up a lot more space than the digital channels, and by transitioning to a digital system, they basically freed up a whole lot of bandwidth that they could use for other things, and they can auction those off to big corporations and that sort of thing. So really, it was just a money-making scheme by the FCC. They know that virtually no one is using antennas to receive their television. So basically, there's no chance that he's ever going to see another on-air television channel.
Well, thanks for that information.
Yeah, talk to you later.
Okay, bye-bye. 357-1290. Good morning, you're on TalkDeck. Hello.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
This is a conservative from Vermont, believe it or not.
Okay.
Hey, remember that I told you, I want to keep reminding you of this fact that the first blood of the Revolutionary War was shed in Westminster, Vermont?
Yes.
Westminster Massacre?
Yes.
Okay. Now we'll go on to the other thing. You know this guy that calls in, this older guy that prays down there in the center of Keene on about issues and political, mainly war issues. You know, when he, a few months back, before Obama was elected, he used to call the Iraq War Bush's Iraq War.
Uh-huh.
And every time he got on, he says, we're fighting Bush's Iraq War. I think the guy should be called on that because he never says it's now Obama's war, and it's obvious the guy has got to be a Democrat, but I think you guys should call him on that issue and say, if you're going to call it Bush's war, now we're going to call it Obama's war. And the other thing I want to talk about is Libya. You know, the Libyan oil deal, you know who gets most of that oil in Libya? It's the Chinese. So therefore, if anybody's going to be talking about a new fly zone or going in there with troops and material, equipment, and assets, let it be the Chinese. It's their stinking oil. Let them go in and battle it.
Wow.
Not them. I mean, we always have to stick our big nose around the world. I think we're in over 100 places now. It's totally ridiculous, and we cannot no longer afford this waste of men and material, and especially money.
Policeman for the world.
Yeah. So there's a conservative, believe it or not, I'm not being redundant or I'm not being whatever. It's believe it or not, there are still some conservatives left in Vermont, thank God.
And you're one, right?
And I'm one, and God knows I'm going to fight to the death to protect, to hopefully bring Vermont back to where it was. You know, Vermont used to be a very conservative state.
Well, things go in circles. It'll be conservative again someday.
From conservatism to socialism, that's where we are.
There you go. Thanks very much. Bye-bye.